Today, we'll know more about whether the U.S. economy is coming off the boil or if financial market participants are just paranoid. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. We know that stock market players are confused and anxious these days. The Dow fell 254 points, 1.6% yesterday, and the S&P 500 on this sixth week of 2016 is down by more than 10% for the year. But what about people who don't live their lives on financial markets? I'm talking about consumers. We'll get new information about American retail sales shortly. That'll be for January. And there's a survey on the way about consumer sentiment covering the early part of this month. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Given all the turmoil in the global economy, U.S. consumer spending and confidence have held up pretty well in the past year, says economist Chris Christopher at IHS. You can chalk some of that up to simple math. With gas so cheap, Americans have more money left over after filling up.
About $14 to $15 per week per household. What they're doing with this extra money is they're going out to eat more, and they're also buying light trucks over autos. And it's helpful for the economy.
The message from the markets, though, isn't so encouraging, says Anthony Valeri at LPL Financial Research.
So the consumer's hanging in there, but I think this equity market is looking a little bit forward and saying, you know, consumer can't carry the economy on forever.
This weekend, though, love will carry the consumer economy on, says Valeri. He's predicting an uptick in Valentine's Day sales, with jewelry delivering the biggest bang for the buck. Keep in mind, precious metal prices, including diamonds, have fallen in the global slowdown. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Also on our data harvesting exercises today, how Americans are doing with debt. An update is on the way from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York on how American household balance sheets looked in the last 3 months of 2015. Marketplace's Annie Baxter looks at some recent trends for two parts of that spreadsheet, mortgage balances and student loans.
Home mortgages account for the biggest share of overall household debt. And while the total is climbing, it's still below 2008 peak levels. Housing economist Elliot Eisenberg says that's partly due to home prices still trailing pre-housing crisis levels.
So when you buy a house now, they're cheaper than they were back then.
And Eisenberg says big corporations have been buying gobs of single-family houses to rent out, which also keeps the total mortgage balance down.
Those homes are paid for in cash.
There's been a lot of debate in recent years about the extent to which rising student loan debts have kept young people from taking on mortgages. But Svenja Gudell, chief economist at Zillow, says her firm's analysis shows school debt burdens are not a big impediment for degree earners.
Sure, you had a whole bunch of student debt along the way, but as long as you got that degree, the impact that debt had on the likelihood of becoming a homeowner was very small.
But Gudell says students who take out loans and don't get a degree are much less likely to become homeowners. I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
It is a big weekend for movies. You may have just heard that Deadpool piece, and don't forget Zoolander 2 is coming out. Now, when it comes to going to the movies, here is a mind-bending thought. What if movie tickets were cheaper for bad movies and cost more for the hits, the way seats on popular flights get more expensive? We sent Marketplace's Adrian Hill in search of an answer.
Annabelle, where are you?
I'm here watching Pride and Prejudice and Zombies and talking on my phone, which would be completely obnoxious, but there are only like four people here and none of them can hear me.
I paid $14 for my ticket. And as you heard, I basically had the entire theater to myself. So why not try to fill those empty seats by making them cheaper? Jack Oberleitner is a cinema consultant. He says variable ticket pricing is a whole lot trickier than it seems.
As far as being able to just drop prices on a turkey, the film companies pretty much control that.
There are contracts between theaters and studios for every movie.
And in that contract, the terms, whether it's 50, 60, 70, 80% of the revenue that goes to the film company is dictated, and also the admission prices.
Setting ticket prices based on demand also gets sticky because so many theaters are multiplexes. Say Pride and Prejudice and Zombies costs $7, and Oscar contender Spotlight costs $14.
Unless there's somebody at the door watching, I can sneak into Spotlight like this.
Ricard Gill from Johns Hopkins Carey Business School points to another problem. If Pride and Prejudice and Zombies were discounted, it'd be sending a signal about its quality.
Would actually mean that nobody goes to see your movie.
Better, he says, to get full price from people like me, who like zombies with their romance.
If you have a movie that is a stinker, that movie is not a stinker. It's a unique movie.
Unique or not, the movie industry wants to sell more tickets. A few of the big studios have even invested millions in an app to help make that happen. The app will reportedly test ticket discounts. But taking that beyond a test could be a mighty tricky feat. I'm Adrienne Hill for Marketplace.
And the federal government's Highway Safety Agency agrees with Google. Computers that will control the cars of the future can formally be considered the driver. The redefinition of driver is a watershed moment for Google, also known as Alphabet, and a big step toward getting self-driving cars to the public. But the company still has a long journey ahead with regulators like the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Driverless cars, by law, at this moment, will still have to have human-operated brakes, steering wheels, and other features. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.